Our theme over this Christmas period, although we won't be coming back into the incarnation message until later in the month, because we want to finish off, not finish off James, but we want to finish the study in James. But the theme that we're going to move through this year will be that of the role of the angels in the Christmas story. And you will have noted, no doubt, that in all of our readings thus far, we have had reference made to the significance and the specific context of the angels who carried the message of the coming of Christ into the world and to particular individuals. The presence and the role of angels figures predominantly right throughout all of Scripture, both Old and New Testament. They are regarded as having a very significant part to play in the Advent story. The New Testament opens with the confirmation of angelic participation in the program of God. For example, in Luke 1, verse 5 through to 25 in particular, the first of our readings today, you'll note that the angel appeared on the right side of the altar of incense in the temple before Zacharias the priest and foretold the birth of John the Baptist, the forerunner of Christ. This was the introduction to the fulfillment of the words prophesied throughout the Old Testament scriptures, the hope of Israel. And John the Baptist was to be the one preparing the way. The angel carried the message. We then came to verses 26 through to 38 of Luke 1 and noted that the angel Gabriel appeared in Galilee in the town of Nazareth to Mary, a virgin betrothed or engaged to marry Joseph, and announced to her that she would miraculously bring forth a son who would be the Son of God. In verse 18 to 21 of Matthew's Gospel, in the first chapter that was read, we noted the angel of the Lord appeared unto Joseph, confirming and assuring Joseph's heart that these things were under the jurisdiction of the purposes of God. We come into Luke chapter 2, and we have just read of the angel of the Lord appearing to the shepherds and announcing to them the birth of Christ in Bethlehem, the Saviour who is Christ the Lord. Though we didn't read it today, you will find in the second chapter of Matthew's Gospel the account of the angel again appearing to Joseph in a dream and warning him to take Mary and baby Jesus down into Egypt to escape Herod's wrath. And then later an angel appeared to instruct them to return once more to the land of Israel. So angels are everywhere in every account of the events accompanying the incarnation, the birth of Christ. We want to take just a moment now to consider the ministry of the angels. At first glance, we notice that with every appearance of the angels, there is an accompanying fear. We're not told the condition of the heart prior to, but it would appear that in the vision of the angels, there was an instinctive response from the heart that was one of fear. And you will find, I have no doubt, the link to John chapter 3 that tells us that men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. And they don't want to come to the light because the light will expose the sinfulness of their heart. And that's why there are many who won't listen to the scriptures. They won't come to church because they don't want. They fear the exposing of their sin and the insistence of impending judgment upon that sin. And so it is when the angels appeared in the narrative of the Christmas message, there was an instinctive fear. But with that, there comes an assurance. And you will notice that the first word that the angels bring to address the announcement that they are to give is to immediately calm the fears of those that they have been revealed to. For example, if you look at Luke chapter 1 and verse 13, you will read there, "But the angel said to him, 'Do not be afraid, Zacharias.'" If you go into verse 30, you'll find to me the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary." We go over into chapter 2 and verse 10. The shepherds on the hillside, the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid." And if we were to go back into Matthew chapter 1 verse 20, you'd read there that to Joseph, the angel said, "Do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife." And so the first initial encounter with the angel is to discover that rather than bringing judgment, they bring a message of peace. You'll note as you read through scriptures that the angels minister time after time to Christ. In chapter 4 of Matthew's Gospel, verse 11, you'll find that after Christ has been in the wilderness, being tempted of the devil, in Matthew 4 and in verse 11, we read these words, "Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered to him." We go across into Luke's Gospel, chapter 22. Luke's Gospel 22, and read in verse 41 to 43, Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. "He was withdrawn from them about a stone's throw, and he knelt down and prayed, saying, 'Father, if it is your will, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done.' Then an angel appeared to him from heaven, strengthening him." We go back into Matthew's Gospel, chapter 28. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 28. And in verses 1 and 2. We read, "Now, after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to the tomb, and behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it." We go into Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1, verses 10 and 11. And here we read, "And while they," that is the disciples, "looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, who also said, 'Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will so come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven.'" We go back into Matthew chapter 16. And in verse 27. We read, "For the Son of Man will come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he will reward each according to his works." And you'll find that is again repeated in chapter 24, verses 30 and 31. So Scripture clearly identifies that the angels have a particular role to play in the plan and in the purpose of God. And in each of those illustrations and accounts, you will note that central to all of them, the common denominator, the thing that brings them all together, is the program of God's salvation. Every stage, every aspect of God's saving work of grace, the angels are present. But let me take you over into Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1. And here we find the practical application of those thoughts. The book of Hebrews chapter 1, verses 13 and 14. "But to which of the angels has he ever said, 'Sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool'? Are they not," that is the angels, "all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for those who will inherit salvation?" I'll just pause for a moment to reconsider those texts that we read. In the temptation in the wilderness, under the burden in the Garden of Gethsemane, all throughout Christ's ministry, the angels were ministering to him. Now, the writer to the Hebrews confirms these angels who ministered to Christ minister to those who are his. We go back over into Genesis chapter 28 and verse 12. And there we read of Jacob's dream. And in the dream, recall how he placed his head upon the pillow of stone. And during the night he had the dream. And in the dream he saw the heavens opened, a ladder stretching from earth to heaven. And on the ladder, the activity of the angels. They were travelling up and down on the ladder, linking earth and heaven, coming to minister to the saints, returning to report to the Father in heaven. We read in Psalm 34, verse 7, "The angel of the Lord encamps around all those who fear him and delivers them." In Acts 5, verse 19 and 20, we read of how Peter was released from prison by the angel. Again in Acts 12, 5 and 11. And think for a moment of that lovely passage in Luke 16, verse 22. If you are a child of God, if you are not, then it's a fearful chapter to read. The rich man and Lazarus. The rich man died, was buried. Lazarus also died. And what happened? He was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. So from cradle to grave, angels watch over and minister to God's elect people. Come with me to Matthew chapter 18. Matthew chapter 18. Jesus takes a little child, puts him in the midst, and said, "Assuredly, I say to you, unless you are converted and become as little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven." Now look at verse 6. "But whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it will be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were drowned in the depth of the sea." Notice in particular the words, "who believe in me." Now the parents who brought the children may not have known that they were called of God. The children themselves may not have known that they were in God's elect. But Jesus knew. The Lord knows those who were his. So now we read in verse 10. "Take heed that you do not despise one of these little ones, for I say to you that in heaven their angels always see the face of my Father who is in heaven." Little children who believe in Jesus, the angels are already ministering to them. Why? Because they are heirs of salvation. Now that reminds us that we need to treat children very carefully, because we do not know if we are handling those who are the Lord's. They may not give evidence of that when they're children. We may think they're the worst children in the world and pull our hair out at times when we're trying to bring them up and we worry about them. Only need to look around the church and you see how many there are who have done that in bringing up children. But here is the reality. Right from the cradle to the grave, angels minister to God's elect. We do not know at what point they will recognize and respond to the grace of God. But their angels will minister, will keep them safe. He will guard them. The angels will protect them. The angels will bring them safely through until that point when they receive the earnest of their inheritance. Is it surprising then that the angels announce the birth of the Savior? Angels have a special interest in salvation, and they have a special interest in the saved. Come with me to Luke's Gospel, chapter 15. Luke's Gospel, chapter 15 and verse 7. In the book of Revelation, we read constantly of the angels worshipping before the throne. But here's another insight into the joy of heaven. "I say to you that likewise there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance." See, heaven will not be complete until the bride is taken home. And as the angels worship in heaven, they long for the day when Christ will take his bride. And then the joy of heaven will be complete. And so as the angels watch, one by one, the saints are added to the church. The angels in heaven rejoice. Now we go back over to Luke's Gospel, chapter 2. Luke's Gospel, chapter 2, and in verses 9 and 10, we see the message of the angels to the shepherds. Luke 2, 9 and 10. Behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people, for there is born to you this day in the city of David a Saviour, who is Christ the Lord." That's the message, and that's the role, and that's the ministry of the angels, participating in the work of saving grace. Now let me suggest a human scenario as we conclude. Perhaps when an angel announced to Zacharias the birth of John the Baptist, and then ultimately the birth of Jesus, every angel wanted to play a role and be involved. When Gabriel came back to report his conversation with Mary and the angel who had conversed with Joseph, the excitement in heaven grows. All heaven is stirred. Imagine each angel in anticipation pleading, "Let me go, let me tell, let me sing it, or let me just be there to simply shine forth with the glory of God, this momentous news to a world that's lost in sin." But in Luke chapter 2, verses 9 to 12, only one angel was assigned to bring the message. There was only one messenger sent from heaven. But are all the angels not ministering spirits? Yes, they are. And as the angel goes to bring to the shepherds the message of the birth of a Saviour, God looks at the other angels bursting with excitement and joy and says, "You can go." So notice what happens in verse 13. "Suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men.'" Heaven is now open, and sinners can know a Saviour. Sinners can know the grace of God in forgiveness. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the blessing of your word. We thank you that this whole mystery of salvation was known from eternity past, revealed to us in time. And while heaven has revealed an interest in all of the affairs of mankind, we know that the greatest joy of all will be when the bride is welcomed home. And we thank you that the angels confirm in the heart of the people of God that we are being preserved, protected. We are being kept by the power of God, so that everything that has been given to us in interest, as an earnest, as a seal of our inheritance, will one day burst into glorious reality, when we will truly be able to sing as we stand in the presence of God, "Saved by grace alone, this is all my plea." And Father, we pray that as we get caught up in the anticipations and excitement of this season of the year, that we will not forget that just as the angels were given the privilege of heralding the birth of a Saviour, we too must speak of him to a lost and needy world. And help us to do this, not only by what we say, but by what we are, as we give praise and thanks for the grace in which we stand. In our Saviour's name, we pray. Amen.